Joined by Dune Butler, who started the band General Mojos in Seattle, Washington, and this band will be performing at Steve's Guitars this upcoming Wednesday, December 11th. How are you, Dune?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Yeah, it's great to hear from you. I understand you're on the road, mid-tour. Have you ever been to Carbondale before?
I actually played at Steve's Guitars, like, probably 6 years ago with a bluegrass band that I was playing in. So I'm really looking forward to coming back.
What was the name of the bluegrass band?
They were called the Blackberry Bushes.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
And this sound of General Mojo is rather different than bluegrass?
It's a bit different, I would say. Definitely more in the psychedelic realm. Flower power kind of stuff.
I read on the website that you got the band started, but of course it takes more than one person to be a band. So could you share a little bit about the composition of General Mojos?
Yeah, so, you know, the core of the band has been playing since the beginning of 2013. And essentially the people I put together was the guitar player David Salonen, the drummer Sam Beach, and the keyboard player Eric Vanderbilt Matthews. And then over the years, we've had different female vocalists join the band. The first one was Tekla Waterfield, and then Kate Copeland, and then Heather Thomas. All three of them have a really great solo acts as well that are worth checking out. It's all kind of ebbed and flowed. And then even for the Carbondale show, it'll be a trio with the drummer and the keyboard player and I, just because when you take a band out on the road, you got to kind of let it morph with who's available when and how that kind of stuff works. But the trio has been a lot of fun the last few gigs in Santa Fe, and we're in Dallas tonight. So
cool.
Yeah.
And so the band is primarily based around Seattle?
Yes.
And how is it to be kind of entrenched in the music scene of Seattle?
It's pretty great. There's a lot of music coming out of Seattle right now, which is fun to be a part of. But sometimes you can also get buried by it, so
Right. It's
good to get out on the road, honestly, and get to take the music around a little bit. I think it's really helpful for the band and stuff like that.
Right. Any influences or compadres that you particularly vibe with in the Seattle scene?
Oh, man. That's a good question. You know, there's a scene called Freak Out Records, and they put on a festival called Freak Out Fest that happened a few months ago, and that's really great because it's all based around psychedelic music.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have a lot of people kind of in the, I'd say, like the funk scene. We did a tune that one of our recent releases, It Gets Okayer, is an instrumental tune, but we had a keyboard player named Delvon Lamar play organ on it, and he's fantastic. And then a guitar player named Andy Coe played some guitar on it. So hooking up with both of them was really great.
Yeah, I did catch that video. Really cool filming as well. It's kind of like one long shot through a sort of house party with the musicians changing places. Really recommend it.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
On the website, it says that you consider your band a psychedelic pop resurgence, kind of in the vein of Tame Impala, Animal Collective, Flaming Lips. So what drew you to that genre, and how do you feel like you're kind of taking it further, exploring the boundaries?
You know, I think for me, and then I think for a lot of the members of the band, the kind of growing up, this old school psychedelic stuff was always pretty prevalent in our lives, or my life. I really liked The Who, and I really liked bands like Jefferson Airplane or The Beatles, of course, is like a big one. And then I always considered that to be older music that kind of you couldn't really do much with it anymore, sadly. But then in 2010, I went to a Tame Impala concert in Seattle, and it was right when they were first getting to America. And when I like heard his voice and like saw the band, I was like, holy smokes, you can still do this. And so that was really inspiring to me, I think. And then from there, I discovered that there were indeed a lot of bands still calling themselves that, still experimenting with that genre. Bands like The Flaming Lips, bands like even some My Morning Jacket albums, or Temples has been a really recently a big influence. So,
do you continue to do bluegrass on the side?
Not so much anymore. I do play a lot of jazz, and so does a lot of the other members of the band, actually. Mm-hmm. Just as far as everyone in the band is pretty much a full-time musician, so you kind of get it where you can, mm-hmm. as it were.
We talked a little bit about the music video for It Gets Okayer, and mm-hmm. In preparing for this interview, I also stumbled across the one All the Greats.
Yeah.
Really cool video, the sort of narrative that it drives with these kids building a spaceship is pretty mm-hmm. sweet. So could you talk a little bit about like the thematics of the sound that you're creating and sort of what it speaks to for you?
In regards to that video?
Yeah, I think the video is a good example of the sound and what imagery
right.
would accompany it.
Right. Well, you know, that song was written kind of about, it was written like the same year that a lot of like kind of famous musicians died, and then I had a lot of personal loss as well. It was this year that we lost Prince and Billy and stuff like that. And I had some stuff happen with my family as well. And so the tune, the message of that tune is just like all of the greats have gone to space, you know, kind of the like stardust element of things. Like when people disappear from this plane, they move on to another one. And then like for the music video, we had done a fundraiser for that, raised money for getting like young women into STEM research, or STEM like
activities, sort of the science, technology.
And getting like younger girls like that are under the age of 18 into those topics early on. And so that was kind of on our mind, is like that opportunity for stuff like that. And then we were like, oh, we want to make a video where like some kids build a spaceship. And then we were like, well, I think it's really important to like kind of make sure that we're, changing the norm of the narrative, even though, I mean, it's a strong narrative of like that kind of stuff. So, it's just important for people to see that, if that makes sense.
Right. The empowered young girl who, is the pilot of the ship, and she has two friends who help, and one's a boy, but it is predominantly a female-led endeavor by these young creative scientists.
Exactly, yeah.
Was the director a friend in Seattle that you teamed up with?
For all these videos, it's just been us kind of putting it all together collectively.
Wow.
The guy who filmed it, Sam Veach, he's our drummer.
Okay.
And so he kind of, at the end of the day, he has the eye for getting the shots and stuff like that. But the concepts and stuff was just the product of Heather and I and Sam getting together a few different times and spitballing ideas. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of quick details, almost like a Wes Anderson film,
which
I appreciated. Yeah. And I imagined that maybe when the parts were being selected for the spaceship, it was somebody's house in the band, because there was a lot of audio equipment.
That is the same house, and it's the house that the guitar player and I live in. It's the same house that the It Gets Okayer video's in, to be completely honest.
That's great. The house is a character, too.
Yeah, so that is, we've gotten our rent money out of that space for sure.
Right on. Will, I'd love to play a track for people to get a sense of the band. Is there any in particular that you recommend?
I'd say we could do It Gets Okayer or All of the Greats at this point.
Maybe I could start the segment out with It Gets Okayer, and then we'll end on All of the Greats.
Sweet, that sounds awesome.
Was there anything that you would like to add about this upcoming show or your band, things that you want people to know?
For the show, we'll be playing a lot of stuff that's not released yet. We have a lot of new material, which is pretty exciting for us, and it's really come together on this tour so far. It's getting really tight, and we're pretty proud of it. And then in that same vein, the band, after this tour, will be getting back to Seattle. We'll be doing we do this annual 24-hour fundraiser, which is like a live stream jam. Wow. Where we play for like 24 hours and have different people sit in with us. But then after kind of this 2019 comes to a close, we'll be back in the studio working on some new stuff, which is very exciting for us.
Perhaps somewhat partially inspired by the 24-hour jam, I'm sure some material will bleed through.
That stuff always gets you out there into the new realm.
Right. So when is that again?
That is December 27th.
Okay, and all live broadcasts.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
What's that?
Sounds like a lot of fun. Who is it benefiting?
This year it's benefiting NAMI, which is based out of Seattle, and it's an organization getting like kind of public resources for mental health and those kind of issues.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Advocacy with your music. And it sounds like a fun opportunity for anybody who plays music to just tune in and tune up their guitar or whatever and then join in from home.
Right, yeah. Ooh, that would be kind of cool to set up in the future if you could.
Right.
Have people plug in like that.
That would be cool. And I was thinking just play along, in your own space. Well, Dune Butler, thank you so much for joining us on Express Yourself to talk about General Mojo's upcoming show at Steve's Guitars on Wednesday, December 11th. And those always get started around 8:30. So we look forward to seeing you and the band here in Carbondale.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Thank you for having me on before we get there this Wednesday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you to Maria Mork for the recommendation.